You've downloaded the episode, pulled it up on your iPod pad phone thingy, and you've even pushed play.
Oh, man! What did I do? Oh, jeez, is this broken?
There's no going back.
Aww.
Written in his bathroom. Geek talk. Entertainment thingies. Inconceivable. Produced in his basement. Hysterically accurate. News of the world. Wall Steve Journal. And more. Now on the web. Everywhere. iTunes. Facebook, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podomatic. It's time for the Voice of Steve podcast. And now, if the medication is doing what it's supposed to, here's the host of the Voice of Steve podcast. Insert funny name here.
It's the 12th day of the 6th month of the 6th year of the 2nd decade of the 21st century. Hi, it's me, Steve, and this is the 251st episode of the Voice of Steve podcast. Hi, how are ya? What the crap? You know, I wish we were kicking things off this week all happy and chipper and funny and stuff, but we're not. 2016 has been a really sucky year in terms of the massively talented entertainers, performers, actors, singers, and songwriters we've lost. And there doesn't appear to be any end in sight here, folks. This weekend began with the news that YouTube sensation and finalist on The Voice, Christina Grimmie, was shot and killed while signing autographs after a performance in Orlando. Some deranged fan made the trip to the show, approached Christina, and opened fire on her before Christina's brother could tackle him. The guy then took his own life. And we may never know what really drove this lubber-warding, mumble-crusted loiter sack to do what he did, but it doesn't really matter. The damage has been done. I'm not ashamed to admit that I am a fan of Christina Grimmie. She sang with a joy and a passion that couldn't help but make me happy. I celebrated her successes and was always glad to hear that she was continuing to pursue her career in music. She wasn't the biggest name like Selena or Taylor, but she made millions happy and seemed to be happy with that alone. So, another light has been doused too soon. My deepest condolences to Christina's family and her friends. Rest in peace. We will laugh this week. It's what Christina would want. Up this week on The Voice of Steve is What the Crap, Entertainment Thingies, and Dr. Steve's Scientifical Guy. We'll get things started with a sports report on The Voice of Steve next.
Hi, I'm Bud, owner of Budco Foods. It's a hot summer day and you just got back from jogging 10 miles and you're really, really thirsty. What do? Well, you walk on over to your fridge and you pull out an ice cold can of Budco Foods Soda Cola. That's darn good. Everyone will love it. Here's just a few examples of people who just love Soda Cola.
I love Soda Cola. I can't get enough of this stuff. In fact, I even serve them during my very important high-level board meetings. It helps to smooth things over with the clients.
Yeah, I love Soda Cola. It helps keep my throat nice and smooth so I can sound my best on the radio. There's just a few examples of how great Soda Cola is. Soda Cola, brand new from Budco Foods.
And now, covering sports ESPN is afraid to touch, and NBC Sports Network can't afford the rights to. It's time for Voice of Steve Sports. Camel wrestling, cheese rolling, bog snorkeling, chess boxing, extreme ironing. Now, let's go to the Voice of Steve Sports desk and your Voice of Steve Sports anchor, the Voice of Steve.
Well, I'm not here to judge, mainly because when I tell people what country I'm from, they don't then tell me I should go get something to eat. Poor Hungarians. They make up for all the grief about their country's name by killing it with a robust export economy and by hosting the most fantastic sporting competition in the history of sporting competitions. Let me introduce you to the first annual Hungarian Grave Digging Competition, where 18 two-men teams compete to see who can dig a grave the fastest. Because, you know, when you need that grave, Well, you sort of need it now. You know, you can't be waiting around for some lollygagging gravedigger to take their time. Some teams had one guy digging away while the other guy was busy working the dug-up dirt into neat piles to get extra points. For style. There's a lot at stake here, you know. These fierce competitors are fiercely competing for a spot in the regional grave-digging championship slated for later this year in Slovakia. According to the unsurprisingly friendless contest organizer, Iron Curry,
I was hoping the event would promote respect and recognition for the grave-digger's profession and attract more people to the job.
And that's the part that surprised me. Are you trying to tell me that there isn't a line around the block of people tripping over themselves to become grave diggers? Of all the jobs that come with ridiculous and unfair stigmas attached to them, who wouldn't want to be that one?
It's like living with a six-year-old.
A Toronto Raptors fan who had been ejected from a playoff game against the Cleveland Cavaliers was shot and killed this past week. In a sequence of events that had actually showed up in 47 different movies and TV shows about drug pushers and gang violence, 34-year-old reputed drug dealer Souk Dio was kicked out of the May 23rd playoff game between the Raptors and the Cavs. Apparently he was heckling the refs, and even though he was doing it in a very nice and polite, you know, Canadian kind of way, the refs didn't take too kindly to the verbal abuse they were getting from Dio and kicked him out. I mean, all they were trying to do is make sure the game ended the way it was rigged to. No big deal. So, Dio was ejected from the game, and before Martin Lawrence and Will Smith's characters could find him and get him to the safe house, two guys pumped at least 14 bullets into the Range Rover Dio was driving and killed him. Toronto Police Superintendent Ruben Strobel told reporters at the scene that the fatal shooting
is a big surprise for this area. Especially at this time of day. This kind of thing doesn't usually happen till after 11 at night, or at least after 5, you know, when my shift is up.
A local newspaper described Mr. Dio as a former Metro Vancouver gangster who was well known to police and was a suspect in at least one continuing investigation at the time of his murder. Oh, and according to police, he was a big-time coke dealer. Yeah, other than that, the gang stuff and the drug stuff and the giving basketball refs a hard time stuff, he was a pretty cool guy.
Put aside logic. Do what feels right.
Throughout human history, mankind has looked for answers. Who are we? What is the universe? Why is Velveeta shells and cheese so much better than regular macaroni and cheese? Science has been one of the tools used to search for those answers. And Steve is a tool who wouldn't understand science if Mr. Spock bit him in the brain. But I suppose he's going to talk about science stuff anyway, isn't he? Yep. He's gonna do it. So, I guess, here's Dr. Steve, Scientifical Guy.
Okay, I know I'm Dr. Steve, Scientifical Guy and all that, and I'm supposed to know all this stuff and stuff, but right about now, my brain hurts. It's just really in a lot of pain, and it's all that Caltech theoretical physicist Sean Carroll's fault. He wrote a book called The Big Picture, in which he explains why time moves forward. Well, it usually moves forward, unless you read one of this titter-baited Kinkle Blossom's books. Then time seems to slow down dramatically. Well, I spent 2 minutes of time going forward watching a video where Mr. Carroll tries to cram into my tiny brain an explanation of why time moves forward. Valiant effort, Mr. Carroll, but because we use the Big Bang as a starting point, isn't gonna quite cut the mustard for this simple-minded, easily entertained individual. We have up and down because the Earth gives us a down? There's no up, down, left, right up in space? Been up in space much, Mr. Carroll? I may be floating in an airless, gravity-free vacuum, but I promise you, there is still an up and a down and a left and a right. Guaranteed. You know, I'll bet in your next book, you'll try to explain that there would be no hungry if we just didn't eat, or that if there were no trailer parks, then there wouldn't be tornadoes. Give it up, Mr. Carroll. Me? Well, I'm going back to getting my science from the Science Channel. So that way, however inaccurate it may be, I'll be sure to understand what the Heisenberg compensator they're talking about.
sounds pretty heavy.
Weight has nothing to do with it.
Must be pretty cool up there on the International Space Station, don't you think? You float around everywhere like you're flying, you know, so you don't go through many shoes, you know, even if you're taking a lot of spacewalks. You're almost guaranteed to get some pretty awesome superpowers if you're bombarded by cosmic rays, yeah. You have an unlimited supply of Tang on top of everything else. I just can't think of any downsides to spending a really long time up there. Well, there used to be one hang-up that I had. Yeah, whenever NASA would call and ask me if I wanted to live up there, I'd always say, well, yeah, I would, but I've got to have internet, or it's a no-go for launch, you know? What good is it if one of my experiments helps me discover a cure for aging if I can't retweet my Facebook post on the Instagrams? It just doesn't seem to be a point to that, so no thanks. I mean, look at what they're doing just to get some kind of internet up there. They don't even use an L-band radio connection. No. They have to use the KU-band and S-band. That's maybe 12 to 18 gigahertz, you know. We beam a signal up to the ISS to their antenna, which lets them receive it, and then their computers can download an email. But because of the limitations of how fast the radio-based connection can communicate, distance, for example, the power drops and the internet on the International Space Station is pretty freaking slow. You can't even Tinder up there, and forget about binging on episodes of Welcome Back, Kotter. Even astronauts rate it as worse than dial-up. I mean, they can write emails to their families, but they can't even play World of Tanks MMO games. Maybe once they get their OPALs, or optical payload for laser comm system going, I'll take a look at jetting up there. But until then, I'll be keeping my feet on the ground so I can live tweet the NBA Finals.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
According to an article from Business Insider via Yahoo.com, scientists have found something strange when they looked at the brains of stoners. Now, when I began reading the article, the strange thing they found in the brains of stoners, I thought, was going to be brains. But it turned out to be a bit more complex than that. These scientists, who clearly spend most of the time stoned themselves, said that they,
like, found a link between daily decade-long weed use, man, and a difference in how the brain processes reward.
Oh, I said to myself, that seems pretty interesting, until I realized that these scientists took who knows how much time and studied the brains of 53 long-term pot users and 68 people who'd never used the drug daily. And what they did was they put objects in front of these folks, like fruit, a pencil, and a bong or pipe, to see how their brains would react. Now, here's the deal. If these scientists actually sat around a table waiting for the results, all excited and giddy over what their findings would be, then acted in any way surprised by the results, well, I say they've got to turn in their I'm smarter than you and I look really good in a white lab coat cards, because they're stupid. Well, guess what happened? It's not hard to guess here. You put the bong or the joint in front of the pot addicts, and they got all excited. The reward centers of their brains got all jacked up. Put a pencil or an apple in front of them, and they probably just wanted to write on the apple something. Put that stuff in front of the non or more casual pot user, they really couldn't care less about any of it. They just wanted to get home in time to catch the next episode of Game of Thrones. What I really wanted them to do is to put a bag of Doritos in front of the heavy stoners and watch the needle on that EKG brain monitoring thingy start flapping around like a fish in a bouncy house. I want to get my entertainment while I'm experimenting and stuff, you know? And no, I am not stoned.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
I'm so wasted!
It is time now for another edition of
What the Crap?
The bros had just gone through a family tragedy. Their own dog, Bella, who had been with the family since their son Josh was 2, had passed away recently, and they'd yet to get a new dog. Well, it just so happened that the bros' neighbors, the Mallets, had a dog that they let run free around their house with the help of an invisible fence. Young Josh Bro noticed Duchess, the Labrador, and would, from time to time, ride up on his bike with ball in hand and throw it towards her. Turns out, the Mallets also have a security camera in their garage. You can never be too careful. Someone may try to swipe the soda you keep in the fridge out there. Well, when they were scrolling through their security footage last month, they noticed something that made them go, aww. Little Josh Bro was caught on surveillance sneaking into their garage to give their pet dog a loving hug. Instead of getting in trouble for going on someone else's property, Josh's parents are thrilled that he seems to still like dogs, and the Mallets, Duchess's owners, are thrilled that their dog has been able to fill a void in the 9-year-old boy's life. They are perfectly happy letting Duchess and Josh continue their adorable little playdates, as long as he takes Duchess for her 3 a.m. walkies, gives her her ear infection medicine, and remembers to scoop the poop in the front yard. Anyone else getting the feeling this remarkable friendship between a boy and somebody else's dog will last maybe a week, tops? Because, you know, that's where I'm at.
I can't believe you don't shut up.
Sometimes, couples have a hard time creating a bond that will last. Not every relationship is like ones you might find in romance novels and TV dramas. Some people have to go that extra mile. And sometimes, that's just putting that extra mile between themselves and the person they're trying to build the bond with. They might write their partner poetry, buy them flowers, take them out to a fancy restaurant, start breastfeeding their adult boyfriend. Yep. Believing breastfeeding and only breastfeeding would create a magical bond between them, Jennifer Mulford has decided to quit her job so she can breastfeed her boyfriend full time. Seems Miss Mulford accidentally ran across a website about adult breastfeeding relationships when she was, surprisingly, single. Yeah.
When I read about the bond breastfeeding could...
could, mind you,
create between two people, I was envious.
You know, I don't know if her wanting to breastfeed her adult boyfriend is weird, or the fact that it apparently only took about 5 minutes for her to find a dude willing to go down that particular rabbit hole with her.
It was like a light switch flicked in his head. I could tell from his voice that he was curious and excited.
No, I think it was less a light switch that flicked in his head than it was a metal pipe thwacked on his head. Yeah.
I'm picking up a heavy, creepy vibe here.
It is time now for entertainment thingies. Aren't you excited? I know I certainly am.
Real quick. You may have heard that Richard Simmons was in the hospital recently. This follows Simmons not being seen in public for 2 years. Not what you'd expect from a guy who loves to parade around on stage and on TV in short shorts and rhinestone-covered tank tops. Well, even though Simmons himself told everyone what the deal was...
I was dehydrated and needed some fluids, and now I'm feeling great. Summer is here. Drink plenty of fluids. Big hugs and kisses for Carrie.
Even after that bit of clarification from the bedazzled one himself, other theories have managed to bubble to the surface. One of the most bizarre theories is from a report from the National Enquirer that Simmons was in the hospital because the fitness guru is transitioning from a man to a woman. Well, according to Simmons' manager,
he is fine. This is such nonsense, even for the Enquirer.
Absolutely it is. Everybody knows Richard Simmons isn't transitioning. It's more like transitioned. Well, good. Now that that's settled, we can get back to what's really important. The fact that the reason Simmons hasn't been seen in public for 2 years is because, basically, he's been held prisoner in his home by his live-in housekeeper, Teresa Revels. No, that's not it either. Well, that's sillier than the transitioning rumor. No. Everybody knows the reason Richard Simmons won't leave his house anymore is due to the fact that David Letterman left The Late Show last year, so there's no show for him to go on anymore.
Boy, you must be outside your mind.
Wow, is everybody excited over this past season of Game of Thrones? All the dying and violence and naked people, you know, and fighting and people coming back from the dead and stuff. It's been a great season for the show, which I am 3 seasons behind on. Oh, no, don't worry, mass media. No, don't worry about spoilers. I mean, hey, who wants to be surprised watching their favorite show anymore, huh? Anyway, what better way to wrap up a fantastic and acclaimed season than with a whiz-bang of a season finale? And according to the producers of the show, that's what the season 6 finale will be. Not only that, but it will be the longest episode ever. Yeah, in fact, the episode will be so long that they will still be shooting the darn thing when Season 7 premieres next year. Don't ask me how they're going to do that, but I guess we'll see. Well, eventually. It'll probably be, you know, special effects and stuff.
Wow, sarcasm.
That's original.
Hey, I just ran across this one on the Entertainment Thingies news feed. Bieber's new habit, sucking on a pacifier. Now, to be honest, this isn't that surprising. I mean, he's probably been a nook sucker for a lot longer. We are just finding out about it now. And there's more to this story. He's more than likely hitting the binky after getting slobber-knocked during a fight after a Warriors-Cavs basketball game. Bieber got hit so hard that he was sucking his thumb, and his handlers thought they could get better PR out of this by having him become fixated on the fuss plug instead. Bottom line is, this is just more evidence that Justin Bieber is an overly coddled, spoiled, man-sized baby who goes down quick in a fight and likes to get down with the googie.
To say that you behave childishly is an insult to children everywhere.
Wasn't that just magnificent? I was worried it was getting a little dodgy in the middle part, but then that finale, wow!
Well, that's all I've got. After this weekend, I just don't think I could do anymore. We saw the shocking and senseless death of Christina Grimmie, only to have that followed up with the worst mass shooting in the history of the United States. In the same town, no less, Orlando. This will go down as one of the worst weekends in recent memory. But we've got to hang in there. We've got to hold our heads high while we mourn those who have been so tragically taken from the world. We have to keep smiling and laughing. Those of us who make a point of trying to make others smile and laugh, we have to redouble our efforts while remaining sensitive to the losses suffered by the friends and families of the victims of this weekend. If I've helped you through any of that, whether you were directly affected by what's happened this weekend or not, that makes me happy. I hope that's what Christina Grimmie and the others who were lost would have wanted. With that said, I know this is normally where I would try to promote my GoFundMe thing or my Patreon campaign. Doesn't seem much point to that, since frankly neither one of them are doing really anything at all. Not to be a downer, but that's just how it is. But what's more important is helping others. You know, Selena Gomez was a friend of Christina's and brought her on tour with her more than once. Well, Selena's stepfather, Laura Worley, set up a GoFundMe with the intent of helping Christina's family during their time of need. If you have it in your heart to help the Grimmie family, this is the place to do it. I'll put the link on this episode's page, but if you Google Christina Grimmie GoFundMe, you'll find it. Just be sure it's the page set up by Laura Worley out of Nashville. And that's going to do it for this week. You can reach me by email at thevoiceofsteve@yahoo.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/voiceofsteve, and on Twitter at @TheVOSShow. Prayers to the friends and families of the victims of this weekend's shootings. May God bless you on your sad journey as you take the next several days to mourn the loss of your loved ones. Thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you next time on the Voice of Steve podcast. Bye.